Welcome to the Analytics Dynasty Daily Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara, and we are diving into George Pickens, wide receiver out of Georgia. And he's coming off. So he had a 2020 ACL injury and missed like the end of the season in 2020, missed basically all the way up to Thanksgiving of 2021, came back, only had five catches in 2021. And then in the playoffs on their national championship run, a big 52-yard reception down the field in against Alabama, but was pretty limited in his return. Had only one game in there with more than one catch. So that certainly a developmental concern there for him in terms of where he will ultimately unfold, as how ready he is and returned from his injury. Certainly a question that we'll have to sort of watch and see. And that'll be part of the workout stuff and all that. I mean, listen, reintegrating a guy who's been out for a year with an injury, you know, down the stretch, basically in your rivalry game as you're heading into an SEC championship game, not the easiest thing in the world. So I'm not necessarily going to ding him for that, but I do think it's something that will come up. And I think it's something that you have to have a fair amount of you do have to have a little bit of context around it when evaluating him. So I'm not necessarily dinging him for the early return. He came back to help his team. You know, he didn't play great. You know, this is kind of like our Cam Akers situation, our Michael Thomas situation from a couple years ago as well, where we basically tried to kind of play through a bad situation. If you just sat out, would you have been better off? I don't know. We'll see. There's some rumblings that I was reading, that he might not have gotten the best reviews from coaches along the way either. So just for what that's worth, keep that in mind. If there's a fall on draft day out of like round two, for example, I think it would be related to injury or some of the off-field concerns that he had. 6'3", 195, 447, so it didn't set decent speed there. He comes in 67th percentile in terms of height-adjusted speed score at 100.7, 33-inch vert at the combine, 35 at his pro day. That is basically a jump from like 42nd to just about just above 50th percentile there for the vert. The broad 75th percentile of 125 yards per team passing attempt in his career, 2.08. That's good for 69th percentile. Yards per route run through his career, 70th percentile at 2.35. So good there. Good in terms of percentage of his routes he was targeted on, 24.3, that's 58th percentile. Here's some of the rub with him, and this is some of the stuff that gives me a little bit of pause with his profile, is when you watch him, he's very it's a lot of it's contested, and that gives me some pause, right? When you look at him, he's running down the field, he's doing those sorts of things in the vertical aspect. And he's just, it's constantly a jump ball, right? You see him, one of the things that I'll actually see is you'll watch him and you'll, in the red zone, for example, and you'll see, you know, you'll see some stuff where he's actually running vertically and constantly covered. And that just gives me a little bit of pause in terms of, you know, where, you know, what, if he can't separate. Well, this pops up here. 24.5% of his targets were contested. That's a high number, right? So that's, I use low as a good, right? So I want them to have a low number of contested catches. I don't want them to have a high number of it. This low percentage of contested catches are better. It's a sign of separation. He ranks 22nd percentile in terms of basically the percentage of his catches that are uncontested, right? So in terms of he's down at the bottom, in the bottom quarter of basically the contested catch rate. So that's not good, The other thing that we saw is broken tackle once every 12.9 receptions. So that's 11th percentile. So I see that paints a dangerous picture for me of you combine a guy that doesn't really separate with a guy that doesn't really break tackles either. What are you doing? You become almost entirely dependent on him winning jump balls and the like. And that's also not really a great thing that he did either. So I actually went through, and just for him, because I wanted to see, and you see some of the other guys in this as well. But when you look at the actual contested, his actual success on contested catches, according to PFF, I did it over his career. He caught 47.1% of his contested catches. That's good for 54th percentile. Again, that's okay, but if you're going to be stuck in doing that all the time, like, that gives you some pause, right? That gives you some pause. Just by way of reference, like, Jahan Dotson, 44.2% of his contested catches he was successful on. That was 42nd percentile. So again, there's a little bit of a bunch right in that, like, between, by the way, 50% on contested catches is actually 62nd percentile. So it's better than, they're not really 50-50 balls. There's something different. I know that that's used as a number, but that's not really what the actual result is. But when you look at Pickens, he kind of blends in, and you see someone like Dotson who is superior to him across some of the other stats. That gives me, and especially in a career, for a career overall number, that gives me a little bit of pause. So that's my big concern with him. He's forcing a lot of contested catches. He's not super duper dynamic about it. When you look at a guy like Drake London, for example, he was actually not targeted. Let's get this here. So he was Pickens was actually contested on more of his routes than London was. London, again, ranked about 40th percentile in terms of that separation. So a little bit of a little concern there. But he converted 59% of them. That's an 87 percentile outcome. So that, right, there's a difference there in terms of those guys. I know some of the stuff that Pickens does looks a little bit nice. He's got some good body control and the like along the sideline. And ultimately, London and Pickens come out pretty close in terms of yards per route run, you know, pretty close in terms of targets per route run as well. Pickens a little bit higher in that metric. London way higher in breaking tackles as well. And London's best was really way better than Pickens' best as well in terms of yards per route run, in terms of max percent of his routes he was targeted on as well. So you look and see there's a difference there, and that's kind of where it opens up. So I think those are a couple guys that might get some comps, but I think they're very different players. And the problem with Pickens is if you're just going to sort of be the perimeter, the perimeter contested catch sort of sideline guy, how are you going to get to 120, 130 targets? That's the thing that really concerns me with him. So, and if you're going to be the perimeter guy that doesn't really do a ton of tackle breaking, that gives me, and it's constantly contested. Even a guy, for example, like Olave, doesn't do a ton of tackle breaking, but he is, his only 14% of his routes, 13.9% of his routes were contested. That's basically a quarter of Pickens' game. Right, you just, there's a big difference there, and Olave was better on contested catches than Pickens was, right? So you start seeing these things and you say, all right, like, this gives me a bit of pause, and I think Olave and Pickens are more in the same range of the position than Pickens is like a true wide receiver one. So that's as we sort of flesh these guys out and get some comps for him, he shows up with a PFF comp of Kenny Galladay. Matt Waldman comps him on a spectrum, including Kenny Galladay as well. So I think that's kind of what you see. And honestly, like, with Kenny Galladay, one of the big things that I always had a little bit of concern with him was he was kind of always covered, right? And we saw what happened with, right, just think about the Matthew Stafford example of what happened with Cooper Kupp as wide receiver one versus what happened with Kenny Galladay as wide receiver one, right? When there's a lot of separation, you get a receiver that can separate, you get some of the stuff that Cooper Kupp does. With, Galladay, it was a lot of covered, right? It becomes kind of a grind, and that's kind of the concern, some of the ceiling concern that I have with a guy like Pickens. So that's the, I figured I'd flesh that out a little bit. When you look, max yards per route run 3.34, that's 84th percentile. Targets per route run is, for a max, is 28.1. That's 62nd percentile. He did break out to 20% at 18 years old, so that's good. That's on the young breakout side. He got there, but he did not get to 30. So for what that's worth, again, only 5 catches in 2021, coming back in the stretch run. Danny Kelly over at the Ringer, smooth, effortless style, and has excellent body control. Doesn't always play through contact at the catch point, and is too often passive with the ball in the air. Again, I think that showed up at the catch point in particular. So that would be one of the things that I saw, you know, in that I would definitely agree with. Good not getting PFF, good at getting late separation with subtle leans and shoulder nudges. However, limited juice, not the guy to take the top off the defense. Everything basically deep was covered, and that gives me a lot of pause. Waldman says footwork balance, body positioning issues, and he struggles with route running. So Waldman's probably the lowest on him out of the sources that I really use and to evaluate these guys. So again, I think he's interesting from a productive at a young time span, and you could say, hey, listen, the situation wasn't great as his sophomore year, and he came back hurt, right? You lean into a guy that's good really young, right? We've learned that lesson with Diggs, and you can sort of write away some of the other stuff. I'm really interested in where the pedigree goes, because the more I read, the more I just have a little concern that he's going to fall a little bit further than maybe we think. I think we in the dynasty community might like him more. It's just a hunch. This is just a hunch. I wouldn't get super carried away, but I just have a hunch that we might like him more than the actual NFL does. So if he's a faller on draft day, I think it could be injuries and the like. Again, he is an expected draft position over at 38.9 over at Grinding the Mocks, an expected draft rank of 43. He is going as wide receiver 7. That is behind Christian Watson, ahead of Sky Moore. And then really there's Sky Moore, and then there's a big bit, like a full round of drop after Sky Moore. So you're looking basically like a top 9, sort of in the top 45, and then it's a big tier break. So we'll see where Pickens falls in that. Again, if he's 9 or later, that gives us some pause, I think. If he's going to sort of be in that early second round range, the mid second round range, that'll be a good, you know, that I think that'll, especially with the young breakout, you feel okay about that. I mean, again, you'd like to see maybe a better situation than, there are some situations in there, you know, if he were to land with a quarterback like Aaron Rodgers, for example, that would be really interesting. I will say, in looking at his Grinding the Mocks draft stock chart, which I'm going to do some more Grinding the Mocks content. I want to churn out as many of these profiles as we can, and then, you know, focus basically the last 10 days and stuff, preemptive moves we can make and the like. But Pickens really looks like, if you go over to the site, he really looks like, it almost looks like a V. So his draft stock was basically up in the first round back in June, like late first round into the 20s. And it really dives back down basically from then into January. And then in January, it bottoms out with him being like mid to later second round rookie pick. And then it arcs back up. So we're on basically the second, you know, if you were to look at like a V, the letter V, we're on sort of the right side of it, sort of heading back up towards the top. Not all the way back there. And it looks, you know, again, it's tough to say. It looks like it's starting to flatten a little bit. So we'll see how it goes here over the next couple of updates on Grinding the Mocks. But trending up from being down would be what I would say. So maybe that's an indication of some good interviews and the like there, you know, that he's having a positive pre-draft process. You know, there is some of that popped up in his profile and the like about him with, hey, he's got, you know, concerns and stuff and some of the recommendation stuff that teams weren't making. So be mindful of that. But I think the rising stuff might indicate, hey, the medical's okay, and some of the off-field stuff's okay as well. So just for what that's worth, he is not trending like a guy that's going to fall out of the second round. But if he does, I think that that's kind of the deal of it. So, and I want to shout out one other thing too, the Dog Bark on YouTube. They have 613 subscribers. Yeoman's work for the site. They went through and they did all of his 2019 and 2020 targets. So he's actually able to watch basically every target he had in college. So awesome for them. They did great work in terms of some of the stuff they chop up. So if you're looking for other guys, for example, I'm just going to shout them out because they did really good work. If you're looking for other guys, if you want to, for example, go through and watch all of the touches that Zamir White had, all the carries Zamir White had in 2020, you can go do that. It is 24 minutes and 5 seconds long. You can go and check out James Cook from 2020, all of his touches and his targets. Or I guess carries and targets, basically almost 11 minutes, right? You can go through and check out all these. Again, the George Pickens is in two parts in 2019, and then there's a full 2021. And you can go through as well. They actually have stuff going back on Jamie Newman and James Cook in 2019. You have all these guys. So go ahead and check that out. It's fun. And I just sat there to watch it. You get a really good understanding. You just sort of bang out one player all at one time. I'm probably going to go back and do the Zamir White one just because I just found this and I, quite frankly, I enjoyed it. So shout out to them. Thanks for them at the Dog Bark. All right. Until next time, that's DAWG for what that's worth. Until next time, continue embracing the variance. We'll talk again very soon.